Okay, today we're going to continue our series, I Believe. Are you guys excited to receive the word of the Lord? Are you excited about that? You guys aren't near as excited as the first service. They get a lot bigger cheer. All right, here we go. How many is ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Are you ready? There you go. We should be excited. How many know that it's important? The word of God says that we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a two-part. When we come to worship the Lord, we worship by our spirits engaging in worship. We sing songs to him. We give our offerings of worship, our tithe and offerings as well. But it's also important now that we, it's just equally as important that we say now we also worship by receiving the truth. What is the truth? He made it very clear. He says, my word is truth. The word of God is referred to as truth. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship by receiving the word of the Lord to come to our heart today that we can leave here changed in Jesus' name. And so I hope that you're ready. You got your pens ready or your electronic device ready, not to go on Facebook, but to take notes. Unless you're just making a post about how good the sermon was, okay? You know, I always go back and check the timeline and see who's posting during the message. I'm watching you, okay? You better watch out. Better not pout. All right, there we go. All right, let's get right into our sermon today. I want to talk to you about how strong is your house. How strong is your house? Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about testing, that God puts us through tests. It's important for us to realize that God tests us. So many people don't realize this, that it's God who tests us. We think it's the enemy trying to test us, but the scripture is very clear, and we proved it over the last 2 weeks, that God says, I test you. It is God who tests us. And God tests us for different reasons, but the main reason he is testing us is to strengthen us, to make us strong. It's not enough just to say, I believe. You got to back it up. It's not enough to say it just to say, I believe. We got to learn what it means to back it up. More than ever, listen to me, more than ever before, we're living in a time when we've got to know what we believe and back it up. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. Anybody can say, I believe in God. And as we're finding out now, that is becoming more and more broad in definition. Saying, I believe in God is becoming more broad in definition. It's like, you believe in your God, I believe in my God, and we're all taken to the same place. And so it's very clear that we as Christians are entering a day when we got to be able to define what it means to be a Christ follower. Your children need to know what it means to be a Christ follower. Don't just say, I believe in God, and we're going to be a church. Otherwise, you'll be wondering why your children are serving a different God. It's important because society is going to bring a floodgates of gods into their lives. And we have got to enter a time when we define what it means to be a Christ follower, a Christian. Very much true. We would never think that, but 20 years ago, you said you was a Christian, everybody knew what you meant. Now we say we're a Christian, it can mean 20 different things, 100 different things in society. So we have got to define what we believe, and we got to learn to walk it out. Just don't say you believe it and then walk out something different. Anybody can do that. Yeah, I believe, but we never walk it out. It's important that we can express it, and we can learn to walk it out, because it's coming a day when we've got to say, I am a Christian, this is what it means to be a Christian, and this is how I walk it out. We talked about no one ever likes going through a test. We said this last week. No one ever likes going through a test. I ask you that. No one raised their hand. Yes, hooray, I'm going through enough tough tests. No one says that. But we all said that we love the lessons we learned going through those tough times in our lives. We all value those hard lessons. When storms come, we walk through and we learn so much about ourselves and about our relationship with God. And so the tough times bring about maturity, and we value the lessons, but let's be very clear, we don't like the test. That's where our problem is. We don't value the test. We value the lessons, but we don't value the test. And the problem is really this, we said it last week, is we don't like being tested. We don't think we need to be tested. Matter of fact, some of us get downright offended when I tell you that God wants to test you. Well, doesn't God trust me? Doesn't he see my heart? If he could just see my heart. And God says, yes, I see your heart, and I'm going to test it. You see, this is what I don't get, is we live our life every day, everything we do is built on a foundation of testing. The food that we eat has been tested to make sure that it's safe for us to bring into our bodies. The water or the things we drink, they're made sure they're safe to put in our body. They've been tested. The medications we get, we make sure they're safe to take, that they help us and they don't kill us, right? The teachers we send our kids to learn from, we're thankful they've been tested and have achieved a certain merit of tests so they can teach our children. We're thankful that the airlines have tested their airplanes before they put us in the air. I'm thankful the cars we drive have been tested to be safe before we're on the road. We're thankful that our gasoline's been tested to make sure it's not watered down and cheap. I mean, our whole life is consumed with putting our faith in things that have been tested, proven. We can't live our life otherwise. It's the foundation. But yet God wants to test us. I mean, really, it makes no sense. The whole foundation of life is being tested and being proven. And so God does the same thing in our life. He wants to test us so we can prove that we're ready to be commissioned for Him. It's going to come a time He's going to test to see, do you really believe what you're saying? You can say you're a Christian. You can say, I believe. But how many know that doesn't prove anything until we walk through the storm? Why are we tested? We talked about it last week. Let me quickly give these to you again. This is why we're tested. Number one, to follow God's instructions. Can He trust us to follow His instructions? I don't give responsibility to anybody else until they have shown they can follow instructions. When you're hired at a work, as you follow instructions, they can trust you. As an employer can trust you to do what you're told to do, then they give you more responsibility. Those who show that responsibility get promoted. They get raises. They get more hours. They get the better jobs. They get more responsibility. Why? Because they have proven they can know how to follow instructions, right? It's the way we live our life. I don't give my keys to my kid to drive my car until he's proven that he can follow my instructions. God wants to test us so we follow His instructions. He tests us to keep us from sinning. Are we going to follow His word? Are we going to flee from sin? Are we going to do what we want to do? He tests us to see if we love the Lord with all of our heart and our soul. It's one thing to say you love God. It's another thing to live it out. Come on now, you're getting awful quiet on me. It's one thing to give lip service and say, I'm a Christian, I believe. It's another thing to learn to walk it out. To teach warfare to the generations. When we go through trials in our life and testing our life, parents, listen to me. We are teaching our next generation, our children, how to handle the test they're going to face. If we panic, if we quit, if we get all having a nervous breakdown because we're facing a trial in our life and we let it get the best of us, our children are going to do what when they go through their trial? They're going to follow exactly the way we do. But if they see the mom and dad or mom or dad or grandma and grandpa or aunt and uncle, whoever is the influence in their life, they see them walking through a test and a struggle and they say, this is a hard test. But you know what? If we just hold on to God, if we'll just keep our eyes pointed straight ahead, if we say, God, you're in control of my life, I won't quit. I'm determined to follow through and to see this thing through. That God, you got a plan on the other side. We're going to keep walking through this until we get through it. And don't quit. What are they going to do when they handle the opposition? Yeah, I remember my mom and dad went through that. But you know what? They stay strong and they walk through it. If I stay strong, I can walk through it as well with God's help. We're teaching the next generation. God tests us so we can teach warfare, how to handle when things come our way. He wants to teach us humility. He wants to teach us humility. Why? Because He resists the pride, right? It says God resists those who are prideful. But He brings grace to the humble. God, if you don't know this, God hates pride more than almost anything. Pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. And it's still the battle that we face the most in our life is pride, pride, pride. And so God's going to continue to bring testing in our life to make sure you and I are not full of ourselves. Remember what we talked about a few weeks ago? Don't think more highly of ourselves than we should. Remember, everything comes from the hand of God. He wants to keep us humble. Number six, He wants to prove our character. We get a chance to prove our character. Can He trust us when nobody's looking? not in church. I said, can he trust us when nobody's looking? He wants to prove our character. You're going to have a chance to make the right decision or compromise. And number seven, we're tested to obey God's word. Can we obey the word of the Lord? This is why he tested. Now let's get right into our text today, where we're going to spend the majority of our time this morning. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Look what Jesus said. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Isn't that hard to hear right there? How many of us are that way? How many of us is this message really hitting us between the eyes today? I believe you're Lord, you're great, you're awesome, but we never do what he says. We never follow the instructions he's laid out for us. We're quick to say, I believe. We're quick to say, I'm a Christian. We're quick to say he's Lord, Lord, but we don't follow instructions. Jesus had this to say about it. He goes, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, actually listens to my teaching, and then follows it. There's a novel concept, right? Listen and follow. Look what he says. It's like a person building a house who digs deep, lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters, everybody say when. Not if, it's when. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds his house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a deep heap of ruins. God's looking for us to follow his instructions. That's what he says. He's looking for us to follow instructions. And this is what's happening here. What is his instructions? We've been given a builder's manual right here. Every one of us has been given a builder's manual on how to build our house. Let me give you some breaking news today. God gives us supplies to build our house, but it's up to us to build our own house. It doesn't say God builds the house. It says we build the house. Some of you are going to take some responsibility for the house you're living in and say, I built a horrible house. I had no idea what I was doing. My house is so unstable that I built. Spiritually, I built a very unstable house. That's okay. But we got to realize this, is we got to take ownership and realize that God will give you everything you need to build the perfect house, but it's up to us to build it. He'll give you the supplies. His word will give us instructions, but it's up to us to follow the instructions. Why would we go spend all kinds of money on having a blueprint, on having an architect build us plans, and then say, all right, let's go out and save all kinds of money. Let's just cut corners everywhere. How many of you feel safe in that house? No. We know if we cut the corners, we're going to compromise something, and that house is unstable. It's very imperative that we follow the architect plans when it comes to the structure of our home we're building. We can't just say, well, it looks good. Let's just leave it like it is and not reinforce it and not do the things that are up the code that will keep things from fires breaking out, that will keep the thing from blowing over when the winds pick up, that keep the thing from caving in when the snow hits it. It's important that we follow the architect's instructions. God is our architect. He's given us everything we need to build the strong house, but it's up to you and I to build it and to follow the instructions. Well, Pastor, I built a horrible house. My house is so unlevel. My house is not that great. Well, this is the good news today I have for you. If you don't like your house, you can rebuild it. If you don't like your house, you can rebuild it. This is the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he gives us a chance. If we don't like the way it is, we can knock it over and we can rebuild it on a stronger foundation. Some of you, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for you to move locations. It's time for you. You've been living in that same house a long time. It's time for you to say, you know what? We got to live in something stronger, something better, something more solid, secure. We got to rebuild our house according to the instructions that God has for our life. If I don't like what I'm living in, I can rebuild it. That's awesome. That's great. He says, you got to learn what? He goes, the person who follows my instructions, they learn to dig deep. That's what he says. He says, you dig deep. You dig deep and you pour that foundation deep. See, some of you here, the reason why your house has been very, very shaky, not very level, it's been falling apart, is because your foundation is very shallow. You haven't allowed yourself to go any deeper than you were when you first got saved. I accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and that's enough. I just come to church. No, he wants you to dig deep. Go deeper. Go deeper in the things of God. Go deeper in his word. Go deeper in your prayer. Go deeper in your communication with God. Go deeper in your worship. Go deeper in your commitment. Go deeper in your serving. Go deeper in your giving. Go deeper in your forgiveness. Go deeper in your loving. Go deeper. What's our theme this year, the beginning of the year, was what? Stay planted. That's why it's important that we stay planted. We grow our roots deep. Go deeper. Last year, we talked about tilling the ground, breaking the ground. This year, we talked about staying planted, going deep. This is what's going to sustain, because the storms will come your way. I thought I was going to get this abundant living thing, Pastor. You talk about how great it is. It is awesome. But he says this, storms are going to come your way. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, storms are going to come your way. But when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and your foundation is strong, you'll survive the storms. He'll be the peace in the middle of your storm. You'll have a joy in the middle of your storm. You'll come out better through the middle of your storm when you are building yourself deep in the foundation of who God is. It's important we go deeper. Stay planted. You can't tell how strong a house is just by driving down the street, can you? We drive down all these neighborhoods and you see all these houses. We don't know how strong they are, really, do we? On the outside, but you can't tell that. You can't really tell how strong a house is until a tornado comes through your town. We all remember 520, right? 22? Remember that day? Yeah. We all remember those days, right? Remember the tornado coming through Joplin? What happened? Some homes were standing. Some homes were gone. A lot of them were gone. Wasn't it amazing that you would drive down and all of a sudden you would see one home standing there and the whole block gone? Especially on the outer edges of the tornado, you'll see places where some houses were missing roofs. Half the house was gone and the other house, maybe a few shingles were gone, maybe a few cosmetic things, but for the whole, the house stood the storm. But yet next door, the whole house is gone. Why? Because they had different builders. They had different builders. Some builders really did a good job of constructing the house. Didn't cut any corners. And they put their money into it and the time into it and built it right. Other builders cut a few corners and it showed. You couldn't tell it driving by. You couldn't tell it even walking through the house. But it wasn't until the storms came and the winds came that we found out which houses were really built strong. This is how we find out how strong we're built. We can all look or act spiritual on the outside when we want to, right? We can all look spiritual on the outside. We can all look that way on the outside, be like this mask on our face and say, yeah, I'm spiritual. Hallelujah. I got it all together. I believe in Noah and the great ship. That was great. Yeah. Woo! And we got this mask on. We come in, we praise God, and we act spiritual. And we know how to do that, right? Some of us say we know how to play the game when we come in and act spiritual. But how do we find out if someone's really spiritual? Go through a storm. Go through a storm. We'll find out if you still smile. We'll find out if your faith is still strong. We'll find out, can you still stand? That's where the true test comes from, is when the storm hits us. See, the storm will reveal the cracks in our house. I mean, your house may not leak, but you let the winds blow a certain way and the rain come in from a certain direction, And many times you'll have leaks in your ceiling that you didn't know you had. All of a sudden your paint will start peeling in the corner of the house. You're like, what happened? They got moisture behind the wall there. Well, you didn't realize you had a crack at a certain place, but at the wind's just right with the rain coming in at a certain angle, it happens all at the same time, just right, and you'll find you actually have leaks in your house that you didn't know you had. Don't you hate that when that happens? Am I the only one who's made that mistake of buying a home that has hidden leaks everywhere? Okay? Anybody else done that? Okay. We didn't know that buying it, did we? We couldn't tell. Even the inspectors couldn't see it because they wasn't there in the middle of the storm. You see, some things can only be revealed. Some cracks, some imperfections can only be revealed in the middle of a storm. This is why God allows us to face storms so we see the areas in our life that need to be fixed. And He'll cause us to walk through those tough times so we can reveal the areas that need to be fixed in our life. Wow, my marriage needs to be stronger here. Wow, I need to fix this in my children. I need to fix this in my spiritual walk. I need to fix this in my finances. I need to fix this in my faith. We see areas, when we go through strong storms in our life, we see the areas that need to be fixed. When a building survives a hurricane or a tornado alley or an earthquake, what happens? They send in experts to study and find out why that building survived and the other ones didn't. Why? Because they want to learn. We want to learn. How can we build the houses more like this? If this one survived and all the rest of them around them fell down, let's learn from this. Let's see why this one, what was different between this house being built and this house over here being built? That's what they do. They study it out so we can pass the knowledge on to builders and we can pass our codes to be different, our building codes to be different, so that when we can require these to go through, so we have a higher chance of our home surviving the next storm. It's important that our houses are strong. What are we taught to do before a storm? I mean, whether you think you're going to go through a blizzard, whether you think you're going to go through a tornado, whether you think you're going to go through an earthquake, or think you're going to be going through a hurricane season. Hurricanes are coming, they predict it's a week out. What do? They board up their houses. They board up the windows. I got some cousins they live down in Florida and they got a business doing this. They're making lots of money. Every hurricane season, going around boarding up people's homes. Every time it's a hurricane's even out there anywhere, they're ching. They're making some bucks. It's out there just boarding up homes. What else do? We talk to go get water, right? We have a tornado safe room. We put water in there. We put batteries in there. We put a radio in there. We put blankets in there. We get non-perishable food that you can just open up and eat. We get propane, heaters, respecting the ice storm. Don't be caught without electricity. We know that. We've lived through that. We know if we live in this area, there's a high chance we can have an ice storm and lose the electricity. So go buy your heater now. Don't wait until it goes out and you have to stand in line. You can't get one. And you're offering the guy in front of you $300 for a $50 heater. How many remember Y2K? How many people bought all kinds of spam for Y2K? You never did use it. People eating fried spam for breakfast for weeks after that. We were preparing for the worst. We're preparing just in case it happens. Wise people prepare. We have a plan mapped out in case something happens. If we lose electricity in a storm, we're ready. We can stay warm. We've got some food to hold us over for a little bit. If we have a tornado come, we have a plan where to go. This is the safest place to go. This is how we're going to stay safe. We have plans. We map it out. You see, this is what's important in our life, that we are prepared ahead of time. Be prepared ahead of time. We need to be spiritually prepared now for any storms that will come our way, because Jesus says when the storms come, not if the storms come. He never said if they come. He says when they come. He was saying they're going to come. Be prepared now spiritually to walk through your next storm before you ever get into it. I determine now I'm going to grow deeper. I'm going to determine now I'm going to go stronger. I'm going to determine now I'm going to serve more. I'm going to love more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to get deeper in the Word of the Lord. I'm going to grow my roots deeper now so that when the storms do come, that I'm solid. And even though I might be shaken, even though I might get beaten up by the winds and debris, I'm going to survive because my faith is in the Lord. And I've dug myself deep in the foundation of who he is. And I shall not be moved. You got to do that now. That's your test now. Will you prepare for the next storm now? The wise man prepares now. You can't wait until you're in the middle of your storm. You got to prepare now. Look what John 8:31 says. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, I believe, right? He said, Jesus said to the people who believe in him, it's not that you just believe. That's what he's saying. You can say you believe, but this is how you know. He goes, you are truly my disciples. You're truly my followers if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is how we set our foundation. We remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ. I remain faithful to the architect plans. I don't just take out 5 pages in the Bible and live my life off of 5 pages in the Bible and skip the rest. I've got to build my foundation secure in him. I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I follow the Holy Scripture as my blueprint for my life, my family. That's how I build myself a strong house. And remain faithful. When the storms come, don't run from God, but run to him. So many people are all, I believe. And as soon as the winds pick up, we're like, I'm going to leave. I quit. I'm out of here. God, you don't love me. Huh? I can't make it through that. And we quit. And we give up. When God's like, no, you got it all wrong. I'm trying to do something in your life. I want you to walk out this storm so you'll be stronger than you've ever been before. So you'll learn something that's going to have value. How many ladies like diamonds? Any ladies like diamonds? Come on, ladies. Raise your hand if you like diamonds. Shocker. We didn't know that, guys, did we? Ladies like diamonds. That's not a big shocker. They love, their eyes sparkle at the thought of getting a diamond. They sparkle just like the diamonds. We all love diamonds. But do you know how a diamond's made? Through pressure and heat. Diamonds are forged and made through the pressure and heat. Everybody likes the diamond, but nobody likes the pressure and heat. We don't wake up and say, oh, I'm in love with the pressure and heat. I love it when God really pushes me and challenges me and life hits me in the face with a 2x4 upside my head. I really like that. I love it when I'm sweating it out over here. When God turns the heat on in my life and I got to walk it through. No one likes that. But see, if we'll just persevere, allow the heat and pressure to define us, that when we walk through, we walk out sparkling. As a gem for God, saying, God, I'm going to make it. God, I'm going to be used as something of value for you. God is seeing, this is the question. God is more concerned with your growing up than your going up. God is more concerned with your growing up than your going up. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Is he not concerned? Of course he died for the sins of the world. Of course he died. He says, I'm going back to prepare a place and I'm going to bring you to there. Of course he's concerned with us getting to heaven. But that was his main goal. Don't you think he would say, all right, at salvation, beam him up, Scotty. We'd be gone. There's a reason why he has chosen for you and I to walk it out as Christians is this, that he wants to mature us. And some of us have the idealist, if I can just squeak into the gates of heaven, give me a little corner room in my mansion. I don't need a whole mansion. Just give me a little bitty room. I'll live in Pastor Gene's basement. I don't care. I got enough kids. I don't need you. But some of us have the mentality, if I can just squeak into heaven. God's like, no, I've got so much more for you. I've got so much more I want to do through you. He goes, I've got a plan. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:13. But on that judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. We're going to be judged on how we build our house. We're going to be judged on the work we're doing here on earth. We're going to be judged on how we grow, how we mature. He says the fire will show if a person's work has any value. I don't just want to squeak into heaven and say, "Woo, I barely made it." No, I want to walk on that judgment day, and I want him to look at me and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I gave you 3 talents. You turned them into 6. Come on in. Enter into the joy of the Lord." He says that we're going to be given crowns. Those who win people to the Lord, we're going to get crowns of jewels, and we're going to take those and we're going to throw them at the feet of our Savior and say, "We're not worthy," and we're going to give them up as worship. Some people are going to squeak into heaven and be sitting back in the corner going, "I wish I had a crown. I wish I had an offering to give the Savior. I wish I could tell him how much I love him." And you're going to be sitting there holding your hands waiting, and other people are going to come up throwing the crowns at the feet of Jesus. Because you didn't build your house faithful. You didn't do what you've been given. You didn't multiply what God has given you. You didn't tell somebody else about the love of Jesus. You didn't witness to nobody else. You got blown around from storm to storm and never learned to dig deep and stay planted. See, how strong is your house? We're going to be judged. The fire will reveal. The fire will reveal how deep we build our foundation. The fire will reveal what's really going on inside of us. This is the good news. I want to close with this statement. Some of you here today say, "Pastor, I don't like the way my house is built. And you just told me it's okay, I can rebuild it. But the question is this, Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to rebuild my house." This is the great thing. Every one of us around here, look at people. We know people in this room that are still standing, that have faced many tough storms in their life. They face things in their life. They face cancer in the face and survive. They face death in the face and they're still walking. They face severe hurt and divorce and they're still here. They faced abuse and they're still here. They faced many trials in their life. They face bankruptcy and they're still here. They face children straying away from God. They're still here. They've walked through the storms of life. We need to study those people. You need to go to those people and say, "You know what? I've seen you walk through your storm. I want to rebuild my house. Can you help me? Tell me, how did you go deep? How did you build it deeper?" I guarantee you there's not a person who's still standing that wouldn't love to share you how they built their home, how they've survived, how they've gone deeper. Just ask them. Just ask them, say, can I study how you grew yourself deep? I want to learn to go deeper. I want to learn how to rebuild my house." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. How many here will say, "Pastor, I need to rebuild my house"? Anybody here say, "Pastor, that's me. I'm a Christian, but man, I built a very strong, weak house. And today I realize that God's calling me to rebuild again." Anybody here want to admit that? That's me. Thank you. Hands going up everywhere. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I've been there. I've had to knock it over several times and say, "God, help me build it stronger." We can't do anything. We can't admit it. Anyone here today, I want you to put your hands back down and say, "Pastor, first of all, I've got to put my foundation right. I've got to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I haven't lived for God in a long time, or I never have asked God into my heart. Confess him as my Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to embarrass you, but I want to give you a chance today. If you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no one's looking but me. Can you raise your hands? That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else say, "That's me, Pastor. I'm ready." Thank you. Several hands going up. It's good. Let's say this prayer out loud. If you raise your hands, say it out loud. If you're a Christian, I want you to say it out loud with those who are saying as well to help them. Let's say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I confess you as Lord of my life. I give you everything I am. I place my will into your hands. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name." you prayed that prayer today and you meant it from the bottom of your heart, we say welcome to the family of God. Amen. Give me a hand. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. How many are ready to rebuild or go deeper, go stronger? Yeah. Several of you, so many of you raised your hands today. We're going to close with a song that simply says this. God, I look to you. God, I look to you. You are my help. You are my strength. I will love you all of my days. I want us to declare this out of our hearts. God, I look to you. You are my strong foundation. Let's make it personal to him today.
God, I look to you. Your will be open. Give me visions to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You wear my help. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Hallelujah, our God reigns forever.
I want to pray for you today. Can you just lift your hands where you're at? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person in this room today. That God, as we are challenged by the word of the Lord today to rebuild, to go stronger, to go deeper, that we can face the tough storms ahead by preparing ourselves now. May we walk through the fire. May we walk through the winds and the storms and know that you are our rock, that you are the foundation. And God, I pray right now as you're raising up people with a strong foundation. You're raising up model homes that when other people fall, that they're going to look to them for support. They're going to look to them for an example. And they're going to say, I want to build my marriage the way you built your marriage. I want to build my life the way you built your life. And we can be an example of a strong tower that happens when we put our trust and our faith deep in you. And God, I thank you that we're going to pass these tests. We're going to pass this test. And God, we're going to come through. And we're not going to quit. We're not going to run. The only thing we're going to do is run to you. And Father, we thank you today. And we give you praise. And we receive this word. And we say together, amen. One more time, put your hands together. Say, I receive this word this morning. Amen. God bless you. Turn around and give someone a hug or a high five or shake their hand or something. And say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you.